You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Yeah! Yeah! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great with Lonzo on the ones and twos this morning. If you want to be a part of the show, you have plenty of options and opportunities to do just that. The phone lines open for you this lovely upstate morning at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can call that number. You can text that number if you want to jump on board this morning. We have got Twitter. X, whatever you want to call it, open for you right now. At the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word. If you'd like to pop off a TweetX post to either one of us, you are welcome to do so. You can get at us on Facebook, at The Fan Upstate, at The Rob Brown Show. And of course, we want you to join the Armada members like Mike and Zach and Yelser, all of whom have joined our live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, or by searching and subscribing to the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch, because Lonzo and I are young and cool and hip and we Twitch. Also stream to that website.
I'm trying to hide the part of me that is a telltale, and that would be the goatee part, which is solid white now.
I
did that. I dyed that by choice, like Scott Steiner.
I have been the last week or so, we have been asked to make an emphasis out of getting, you know, social media videos up. We're making, it's broadcasting. We're all making the transition predominantly to pushing digital. And one of those things is, hey, you got to try to go viral. You got to try to get your stuff out there. So for the past week or so, your boy has been trying to lean into that and start creating more reels or shorts or whatever you want to call them. I made one yesterday out of the segment that we did on Friday of last week, getting set up for the Royal Rumble, of why we love professional wrestling. And the answer to that was because we have found very few things in life that can provide you the opportunity to feel the full spectrum of human emotion, and you can schedule it.
I can tell you, I received a text late Saturday night from Odie, and he said, now I get why you guys watch this.
Yeah.
Because I was watching Royal Rumble as we did the show, and I let him watch some of the, because it started early, we watched some of the women's Royal Rumble before we did the show, and then afterwards he went home and watched the entire men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah. It provides you the opportunity in a scheduled and set period of time to run the gambit of every emotion across the spectrum. That's why we love wrestling. And I did a YouTube short on that I got filmed. I got edited. I popped it up. I went back on Sunday to kind of check in on it, see how it's doing, see what the response is. And the only thing that I noticed, though, was this big patch of gray hair that's starting to fill in right here. I'm slowly beginning my evolution into my final form of Silver Fox.
You know,
I'm gonna be a Silver Fox.
A few years ago, that app came out where you can see what you look like when you're old. I'm progressing towards that.
It didn't just...
Oh, it made the beard completely white and there was a bunch of wrinkles.
Did it just turn your camera on?
Yeah, that's funny. I did it to a former host here. He's like, you got to take that down. You better not post that. I can't believe... It's like, dude, shut up.
Shut up. Hey, it's 7:05 in the morning. You've got less than 55 minutes till you got to be dressed out the house on the way to arrive at the office. Get yourself sat down in front of the computer. Pop off replies to all of those passive aggressive emails from anyone and everyone that thought you were going to be doing any work last night. You said that's a concern for future me. Well, future me's got to arrive here in 54 minutes to the office. Here's the thing. You're going to fire off those emails, and then you're going to go walk down the hallway, the long and lonesome hallway, all the way to the far break room on the other side of the office that y'all keep dark because the boss doesn't want you hanging out there in too long. You're going to go down there. You're going to hang out for a long time, and you're going to talk sports. And if you're going to go down there for a long time and talk about sports, well, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this a.m. and start talking sports with your coworkers, with your family, with your friends, with your dog, whoever you spend your mornings with. This is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive in to item number one. Your AP Top 25 basketball poll dropped last night. Auburn and Duke remain 1 and 2 atop those polls for the third straight week now. Maryland back in the rankings for the first time in nearly 2 years. Couple of other teams that have moved up and down. The Alabama Crimson Tide at 19-3, all the way up to number 3. 3 of the top 4 spots are held by Southeastern Conference teams as Tennessee checks in at number 4. 4 of the top 6 spots are held by Southeastern Conference teams because Florida is now ranked number 6 with an 18-3 record. Amongst other notable squads, Michigan State has jumped up to number 9. This is a Sparty team that early in the year looked like it was going to be taking a step back. Instead, this team has found a little cohesion, and Tom Izzo's boys are now right back into the mix at number 9. Texas A&M is at number 10. Kentucky comes up to 14. Missouri, a team that I told you a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little underrated, maybe a little underappreciated, they are now at number 15. Mississippi State at 22, Michigan 24, Mississippi 25. Clemson fails to reach the top 25. Couple more big wins they could get there. The problem for Clemson, and we talked about this with John Blau a few days ago. I talked about this on BetMGM Tonight last Tuesday with the big Huevos Bradley Evans. Clemson's biggest problem right now is a problem that Clemson football fans know exceptionally well. The ACC's bad. It's just not the basketball conference it used to be. And because the ACC as a whole is down and out right now, Clemson is kind of having their record dragged down with them. The SEC has at least 9 teams in the poll for the 7th straight week, including 3 weeks with top 10 teams making up 40% of the poll. The SEC also had at least half of the top 8 times in 9 weeks, peaking at 6 teams back on January 6th. No other league has had more than 6 ranked teams in any week so far this season. The Big Ten has 6 ranked teams, followed by the Big 12 with 5 and the Big East with 3. The ACC and the AAC both have 1 ranked team. The ACC has Duke at number 2 and nobody else from the conference inside the top 25.
Wait. I thought that was a basketball conference. I've heard that my entire long life.
Yeah.
That's ACC, that's where you go to play basketball.
Well, let's
right?
be clear. For your long life, most of it, that was true. I don't think it's true anymore. There's a problem in the ACC. And obviously, as we begin our switch into our basketball coverage, once the Super Bowl licks are over on Sunday, we'll move on to the next big thing. Let's get to item number 2. I work in the landscape of sports wagertainment. That is to say, I get paid to talk about and participate in sports gambling. It is a thing that I very much enjoy. If you missed it yesterday, by the way, the BetQL Network is now the BetMGM Network. We are now officially branded by one of the biggest sports book in America, BetMGM. I make money from this. I am a fan of this. And I can tell you, from somebody who works in the industry and has for like a handful of years now, going on, I think, coming up on 4 years, or no, 3 years. This will be our 3rd baseball season on Bet for the Cycle with myself and former Major League player Cody Decker on the BetMGM Network every Saturday from noon to 4. Shameless self-promotion never sleeps.
Congratulations on 3 years.
Thanks. Not there yet. Got plenty of time to screw it up. Opening day is still like a month and a half away, but we'll get there. Anyway, one of the things that I think is very important, and I think it is very important as somebody who enjoys sports gambling, who wants sports gambling to stick around, I think it is to be open and honest and address the issues with sports gambling in sports. I think if those things are not open and honest and addressed, and if you end up at a point where you have lost the trust of the public, because, as right or wrong, many NFL fans currently do, if you lose the trust of the general public, the integrity of the league suffers. And if the integrity of the league suffers, then it takes the sports out of sports gambling. And I don't want that. I don't want that. 38-year-old Pat Hoberg was an umpire for Major League Baseball. Was an umpire because baseball, Major League Baseball, found a link between Hoberg and a sports gambling website. After doing an independent investigation, according to Major League Baseball, where they hired a third party to step in and do said investigation, they found that 38-year-old Pat Hoberg had shared an online gambling account with a poker professional that was a friend of Pat Hoberg's. Now, according to MLB, they did not find any association between Pat Hoberg and direct bets on baseball games. They did not find anything that insinuated that Hoberg, in his position within Major League Baseball, had provided inappropriate information to other gamblers. According to the investigation, Pat Hoberg effectively lived in a state where sports gambling was not legal and placed bets on other sports through his friend in this account. However, despite finding out, or at least not finding any evidence that Pat Hoberg did directly bet on baseball, but he did have an illegal, to baseball, not in the eyes of the law, but an illegal account that he shared with someone else. Pat Hoberg, who, by the way, you want to know why you haven't heard the name Pat Hoberg before this story? You want to know why when I said 38-year-old Pat Hoberg, you went, Pat who? It's because Pat Hoberg, for the past 2 years running, has been the most accurate balls and strike umpire in Major League Baseball. In fact, I believe it was 2 years ago, Pat Hoberg was behind the plate for a World Series game and called a perfect game, according to umpire audit and AccuTrack. Called a perfect game, balls and strikes. Pat Hoberg is the definition of, if an umpire or a referee does his job appropriately, you shouldn't know his name.
So you're saying that baseball just got worse?
I am saying that baseball got better, because at the end of the day, even if he didn't place a single play on baseball, if he truly never bet a game and never shared inside information with other gamblers, Pat Hoberg had to know that as an official, can't do it, can't be connected to it, can't be connected to it, can't be associated with it, can't be involved with it. You just can't. And he was, and he got canned. To the point that Pat Hoberg, who is eligible to appeal and potentially be reinstated in 2028, Pat Hoberg has decided, at least for now, he is not going to appeal this punishment of termination as an employee of Major League Baseball. He is not going to appeal that. He is going to sit it out, and he may or may not apply to be reinstated as an umpire in 2028 when he is eligible for it. I'm not saying baseball got worse, because you just can't have people that are directly connected, whether it is a coach, a player, or an official. You cannot have people who are directly connected to the outcomes of games involved in gambling. They all know it. Cody Decker has told me multiple times that when he got drafted to the San Diego Padres and he made his big league debut, one of the first things that happens is they put the rooks through an education class that tells them, here are all the different ways that you could theoretically get involved in this, and if you do any of them, you will be gone. It is not a question of if, it is a question of how quickly. Can't have it. And the fact that they let Pat Hoberg go is good news. And finally, item number three, I won't spend a ton of time on it, but mainly because we talked about it a lot in the last hour. If you missed it, you can go back after the show is over to thefanupstate.com, go to the podcast section, drop it down, click on the Rob Brown Show, and click listen on demand to hour number one of the show. But a series of emails collected by the federal government via subpoena from the New Orleans Saints released to the public yesterday, a direct connection between the owners of the New Orleans Saints, Gail Benson and family, the PR director, Craig Bensel, of the New Orleans Saints, and the Archdiocese of the New Orleans Saints, that found that at Gail Benson's directive, the New Orleans Saints utilized resources of the team in order to help the Archdiocese in New Orleans of the Catholic Church to cover up, sanitize, whitewash, and change the public image after a series of child molestations accusations and settlements. Gross. I'm out as a Saints fan. I've asked the question 100 times. Could my team ever do anything that makes me walk away from them? And it turns out the answer is yes. I am done with this team until this team is obligated to be sold to someone who, I don't know, would not help church members cover up child molestation. If you're on the side of the people who molested the kids, you're a bad person. End of discussion. I will have no more discussion in that regard. All right, when we come back, let's talk some Super Bowl licks. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked yesterday about the six keys to the game that is taking place on Sunday. Super Bowl licks down in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Why does that bother me?
I don't know.
But it does.
I can tell.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not going to stop me, but I can tell.
Oh, no, it's going to make you do it more, which I completely I respect and understand. But it's just, I don't know why it just bothers me.
Super Bowl licks on Sunday, I have started giving you some keys. Yesterday, I gave you two, one from each team, and the numbers that back it up. Saquon Barkley is one of them. I pointed out that against Kansas City, James Cook, for the Buffalo Bills, rushed the ball 13 times for 87 yards. That is, I'm not good at math, but pretty healthy number of yards per carry. Until the fourth quarter, when for reasons unknown to any of us, the Buffalo Bills stopped giving the ball to James Cook, disappeared from the playbook, and then the Bills lost the game. Saquon Barkley, on the other hand, averaging more yards per carry than anybody else in the NFL, and the Eagles do not, cannot, will not stop giving him the ball. So if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know that you can stop Saquon Barkley, but you better figure out how to limit him. Key number two, on the flip side, Philadelphia Eagles, stop the blitz. The Eagles have the 13th highest blitz rate in the national, excuse me, the Chiefs have the 13th highest blitz rate in the National Football League. But as I pointed out yesterday, it is not how often the Chiefs blitz. It's how the Chiefs blitz. Steve Spagnuolo has, as far as I'm concerned, earned himself Coordinator of the Year award credentials. And it's done so because, again, go back to the AFC Championship game. I need one play to explain to you how the Chiefs' defense has worked. It was that fourth down incomplete pass that ended the game. On that fourth down incomplete pass, Josh Allen rolled out to the right. Something that, and it has been pointed out since this happened, is Josh Allen's tendency on big plays at the end of games. He rolls right, which makes sense. Right-handed quarterback, most of them would prefer to roll right. But most guys in that spot would stay in the pocket, not Josh Allen. Josh Allen has a tendency to auto-leave the pocket to the right. So what did Spags do? Spags sent a pair of Chiefs blitzers off the defense's left to Allen's right. And by the time Allen realized where he was and what was happening, there were two red helmets barreling down on him. So that pass, which was still close to being completed, that pass was from a falling back, fading away off the back foot Josh Allen. Not a guy who was able to plant that foot, push into the throw, and get the ball there. If Josh Allen is able to step into that throw, that's a first down, and we may have a different Super Bowl matchup today. But we didn't, and that's on Spags. If you're the Eagles, you have to stop the blitz. Again, you know it's coming. Spags has a blitz rate that is in the top half of the National Football League. Not by much, but it is. It is just a very efficient blitz. It's not just dialing up a blitz. It's dialing up blitzes based on what you do. means Philadelphia's also got to vary up the playbook a little bit. But when a team starts to get away from their tendencies, their comfort zone, when they start to step outside of, I hate using the expression, the script, they get off kilter. They get off foundation. There's a problem. I want to flip it to the Philadelphia Eagle defense. I've heard this stat a lot because we talked about the Eagle defense yesterday very briefly. And I talked about the fact that on the defensive controls for the Philadelphia Eagles opposite his counterpart, Steve Spags, is another guy who is known for being a pretty healthy defensive mind. And that is Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is a guy that's been sought after for years by head coaches to be their defensive coordinator. Now, he's not as aggressive as Steve Spagnuolo, but he is a dude that is very adept at figuring out what you want to do and how to stop it. Now, Vic Fangio has faced Patrick Mahomes 8 times. Remember, Vic Fangio was the head coach of the Denver Broncos for a hot minute, 2019 to 2021. In that stretch, he faced Patrick Mahomes 8 times. And that is a stat that I have seen the talking head nerds float a handful of times. Vic Fangio, while as an HC, couldn't get by Patrick Mahomes. Why should I believe that his defense is going to suddenly be able to do it this time? And I got curious that I went and looked up those games. October 17, 2019, the Broncos lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 30-6. You know who was the quarterback of October 17, 2009 for Vic Fangio's Denver Broncos? Joe Flacco. And this was before the Cleveland renaissance of Joe Flacco. December 15, 2019, game 2 of that season, the Broncos lost 23-3. Do you know who was the starting quarterback for the Broncos in that game? Drew Locke. October 25th, 2020, Broncos lost 43-16, blowout. Do you know who was the starting quarterback of that game? Drew Locke. December 6, 2020, Broncos lose 22-16. Who was the starting quarterback? Drew Locke. October 17, 2021, Broncos lose 22-9 to the Chiefs. Do you know who the starting quarterback of that game was? Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Two Gloves. January 8, 2022, the Broncos lose a close one, 28-24, against the Kansas City Chiefs. Who was the quarterback of that game? Drew Locke. Drew Locke was the quarterback for 5 of those 8 losses. Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback for 2 of those 8 losses. Joe Flacco, pre-Cleveland renaissance, was the quarterback for 1 of those 8. That Broncos team, now I can blame this on Vic Fangio, and that's fine, but the Broncos team that Vic Fangio was in charge of, that at this point it is just a repeated catchphrase, lost to Patrick Mahomes every time they played him. That Broncos team was led to losses by Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater twice, and Drew Locke 5 times. In what world is a quarterback led by Joe, or is a team led by quarterback Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, or Teddy Bridgewater expected to be Patrick Mahomes? That stat to me is respectfully a worthless stat. Vic Fangio 0-8 as a head coach against Patrick Mahomes. It's a worthless stat. Those Broncos at that point were reeling. Those Broncos, for the years that Vic Fangio was in charge, and again, you can put this on him, but those Broncos, when he was in charge, were a bad, bad football team. Bad football team. And if they're a bad football team, of course I don't have a lot of expectations. Now, again, you want to put that on Vic Fangio? Sure. He's a head coach. It is his job to work with the general manager to build a football team in the image that he wishes it to be built in so that they can be good. I'm good with all that. But what Vic Fangio did or failed to do as a head coach in terms of roster building That's not his responsibility as a defensive coordinator. What Vic Fangio has done as a defensive coordinator with Philadelphia is create one of the most dominant pass rushes in the National Football League. Led by Jalen Carter up in the middle, Josh Sweat on the outside, they have put together a pass rush that's number one strength, isn't even coming up with sacks. Jalen Carter, maybe the best defensive lineman in football, not named Chris Jones, had 4.5 sacks this season. He's an interior rusher. He's not going to have 10, but 4.5. Do you know why he got him? They were against Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Danny Dimes. He got those 4.5 sacks because Jalen Carter collapses pockets and he removes a quarterback's time to sit back there, see, diagnose, and execute. And once you start moving around against the Eagles, that's where their backers and outside rushers get involved. That's where Josh Sweat steps in. And he'll put anybody in trouble, including Patrick Mahomes. All right, we'll talk more Super Bowl as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, Lonzo, you. The Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show. 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to jump on board. You're certainly welcome to do so. You can shoot us a text at that very same number, 844-326-3663. You can also get at us on Twitter at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo One Word, at the Fan Upstate. So I've given you two of my six keys that will determine this game. The first one, Saquon Barkley has to be limited. Now, you could argue that, like, 100 yards and one touchdown is limiting Saquon Barkley. And I, honestly, I think that'd work. I think if you can keep Saquon to 100, his rushing number in Vegas right now is 111.5 yards. Now, do keep in mind, as I said earlier in the week, you cannot utilize Super Bowl numbers as a perfect representation of the expectation, because casual bettors are involved who probably don't bet a bunch of money. But there's a lot of extra money coming in, and as we have said on this show, is a war cry all week, casual bettors don't bet unders. Casual bettors are not betting for less fun things to happen. They're betting for more. They're betting for Saquon Barkley to go over rushing yards, Patrick Mahomes to go over passing yards. They want to see offense, historically speaking. So, these Vegas numbers, maybe a little bit higher than they might be if this was a Week 15 game. But 111 yards, even if casual bettors bump that up a full 10 yards, you are still looking at an expectation of north of 100 yards. I think if the Chiefs' defense can keep him to a hundy and a tutty, they'll be fine. Number two, for the Eagles, stop the blitz. We talked about that one a little bit in the last segment. So, let's go on to key to the game number three. If you are Kansas City, that ball has to come out fast. It's got to come out fast. This goes back to what we talked about in the last segment when we talked about the Eagle defense. They are successful against the pass, not because they have an immaculate pass rush that just flies to the football. They are good against the pass because they collapse the pocket around the quarterback, because they hem the quarterback in. They do not allow the quarterback to get outside of the pocket. They are going to pin your boy in the pocket and hold him there, and they do not miss arm tackles. If they get a hand on you, you are going to the ground. That's just how they play defense. There is a way to combat that. Quick passes. I'm talking three and in. I'm talking five and in. I'm talking quick slants. I'm talking screens. Get the ball out el rapido. Got to go. Mahomes cannot sit in the pocket and hang on to the ball for 3+ seconds. It's got to be 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, throw the football. Tops. That ball's got to be out by 2.5 seconds at the absolute max. One reason that I'm intrigued by this is that Patrick Mahomes has said a couple of times, I run ugly. I think we all agree with that. He's got a weird run. Right? He's just got a weird run. But he's also said he believes his ugly run is the reason that he is successful as a runner and as an improviser. Because when you're used to running down guys who run a traditional gait, and then you go up against Mahomes, who has that kind of weird, like, stutter step run. It's not like a smooth run. It's a lot of choppy. It's choppy, 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 choppy. It can throw you off a little
I'm
bit.
I'm so glad there's video of what you're doing. That's, I can't.
It was a perfect representation.
I don't think so. What perfect. It was indescribable.
It's a very choppy run style. Do you agree with that, even if I didn't nail it? It's a very choppy run style.
There's a lot of shaking and rattling.
A lot of jiggle going on over here.
There was quite a bit of jiggle. A
lot of jiggle. Because I'm not a professional quarterback.
He doesn't. It's just he doesn't look fast, even though we found out he's not fast. So
no, he's not fast. But because of the choppiness, he is able to, even more than a lot of good running backs, he is able to get you going one way, and then because he's so choppy, it's just bop back the other way.
It's like old school video games before they got, you know, as accurate as they are now, where the top half doesn't move, but the bottom half does.
Yep.
It's kind of like that.
It kind of is. So the issue here, and this is one thing I am concerned about for the chefs. The thing that I'm interested here is that is something that Philadelphia takes away. They would rather hem you into the pocket and see if you can beat them by throwing out of the pocket than allowing you with a heavy pass rush to get outside of the pocket and beat you there, beat them there. They're not a team that is going to, at least not as part of their strategy, allow Mahomes to do what Mahomes has done to other teams, and when the pocket collapses, walk it back 3 yards and bootleg out right or bootleg out left, get outside of the pocket, and now all of a sudden, Mahomes has got you at his whim. Because once he gets out there, if you're the guy that's in coverage out there on somebody, you got a decision to make. Do I step up? Do I tap Patrick Mahomes knowing that he can throw the ball underhand, overhand, sidearm, backwards, behind the back, through the legs? He's the dude perfect of throwing short passes on the run. Do I attack Mahomes knowing that he can do that to me? Or do I stay in coverage knowing that he's got the ability to get that ball past the line of scrimmage? And not just make something happen, but make something happen and potentially draw a flag when he does it. That's what he does. If you are the Eagles, I think the game plan for this is 100%. Don't let him do that. Do not let Patrick Mahomes get outside of the pocket and beat you by being an improv master. The Colin Mockery of quarterbacks. Don't let him do that. Because if you do, you're screwed. But that's Philly's defense. They're going to bring their edge rushers off tackle. They are going to utilize them to set the pocket. They play up the field. When I play defensive end, the old expression that we used to hear was hit, sit, first back that can hurt you. With the acknowledgement, the quarterback's a back. Get up the field, make contact with the tackle, then plant your feet, get a wide base, set the edge, look up. If the running back's coming at you, you smack him, even if it's as a blocker. Take him out so that the second level can get there. If the quarterback's coming at you, attack him. Drive him back into the pocket where the cavalry is coming from. That's what the Eagles do. Their ends are going to play up the field and then wrap in. They are not going to let Mahomes, or at least their goal is going to be not to let Mahomes take that ball, drop in the pocket, realize he's under pressure, and then spin away to the left or roll out to the right, get out into the flats, and then start beating you with those improv passes that he is the best in NFL history at making. You do that, you're in trouble. So if you are the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, how do you combat that? How do you prevent that from being your undoing? The answer is get the ball out quick. If you open this game with a couple of screens, a couple of slants, a couple of underneaths, couple of maybe quick tight end dumps. If you get the ball out quickly early, then what happens? Now defensive ends have to be more aggressive. Now they have to start making moves and stunts to the inside. Because if they're not getting to Patrick Mahomes, they don't have an impact on the game. If they're not getting to Patrick Mahomes, then Mahomes has time in the pocket. Even if he's getting the ball quick, he's got time in the pocket to get the ball where he wants it to go. Now the defensive ends for the Philadelphia Eagles have to change their game. Now they have to be faster off the attack. If they've got to be faster off the attack, what they can't do is what the offensive tackles know they're going to do, which is hit, sit, eyes to the back. Now those defensive ends are going to have to start stepping inside the offensive tackle. Now they're going to have to start making spin moves and bull rushes and rip moves and swim moves. They've got to start doing other stuff in order to have an impact on the game. And if they start having an impact on the game, if they have to start doing other stuff as opposed to up the field, eyes to the backfield and set the edge, react to the ball. If they have to start attacking with all these different pass rush moves, including starting to dive up inside of the tackle in order to try to use his leverage and momentum against him, now Mahomes' improvisational skills are back in play. Now, all of a sudden, Mahomes can start rolling out left or spinning out right. Now, all of a sudden, he can start being Mahomes, and the Eagles are cooked. Early in the game, get the ball out immediately. If you do that, you change the way that the defensive ends are going to work. I turned my volume off. I thought I turned my mic off. Not counting it. I didn't turn it off. I was working.
No, you were working the entire time. It's still not a good look of what you did.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I didn't say it was a good look, but I didn't lose a point. If you change the way that the Eagles' outside rushers work, you also change the way that their interior rushers work. If you change the way that the Eagles' edge rushers work, you change the Eagles' defense. Now Vic Fangio has to go deeper into the bag. Now he's got to start calling stuff that is outside of what they have done to be successful all year. And if you do that, you win the game. I feel comfortable saying, Lonzo, I think it's going to be a close football game because every Chiefs game is a close football game. But I'm going to tell you this. I feel like I will be able to tell you within the very first Kansas City drive if they are going to win this game or not, and it's based on this key to the game. If Mahomes comes out early in this game and the Chiefs are getting rid of the ball quick, whether it's to X or whoever, Pacheco, whatever, if they are getting the ball out quick, dinks and dunks for 4, 5, 6, 7 yards at a time, and they get into a rhythm doing that early, they will win the football game because the Eagles will have to get out of what brought them to the dance.
See, I think it's more the first two drives of the second half. to see what kind of adjustments were made by both coaches. I know it's probably cliche sounding, but what kind of adjustments were made by both coaches. If Andy Reid does what he normally does and makes the kind of adjustments he and Spagnuolo make, the right kind of adjustments, then you can be able to tell how they're going to win.
If this game comes down to coaching adjustments, you definitely win the game because Nick Sirianni ain't it. I mean, Vic Fangio defensively will be interesting to see how he schemes against a Hall of Fame quarterback that he is very familiar with as a multi-year head coach of the Denver Broncos. But if this game comes down to coaching, if this game comes down to tinkering, if this game comes down, so if this is a close game that comes down solely to adjustments, yeah, the Chiefs are winning the game. I'll take Andy Reid over just about anybody in the NFL. Shout out to my man Yelser. Said he's going down to Destin this weekend. Said he's hitting my old favorite dive bar. He said, first stop, cold beer at the Boathouse. Dollar bill on the wall for you, big dog. My man, have a great time. Boathouse down in Destin, Florida. My favorite bar in America. Enjoy it, bud. Enjoy it. You know what else we're going to enjoy? Listen to that segue. I'm a professional. Audio blitz up next. This Sports Flash.
Don't say it very often, but you nailed it. Reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, I thought you were going to curtsy, has requested a trade away from the Cleveland Browns after a 3-14 season. Garrett said he doesn't intend to go through another rebuilding season. General Manager Andrew Berry stated he has no intent or desire to trade Garrett even after his request. Probably still happening, though. Sun star Devin Booker has become the franchise's all-time scoring leader, passing Walter Davis on a 3 3/4 of 121-119 win over the Trailblazers, also known as the Trailblazers. Booker finished with 34 points, bringing his career total to 15,678 points. Tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. It's Furman versus Western Carolina right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.